Here's a pleasant problem occupying minds in Lansing. What do you do with a projected budget surplus of $971 million? Well, as one might expect with anything that comes out of Lansing, there is no shortage of debate on just what to do with this windfall. We're joined now by Chris Gouts, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, and Jonathan Osting, MLive's Lansing reporter. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, I'll start with you. Almost $1 billion in surplus. What's behind this?
Well, we have a lot more money, and I think just the biggest question is what we're going to do with it. But we're seeing it from a lot of different avenues. A lot of this is one-time money. It's from unwinding the Michigan business tax, and so that's part of it, and that complicates, you know, what you can do with it, because you get into this argument of one-time money versus, you know, perpetual income that's coming in. So there are a lot of different corners, and now the fight begins as to how to spend it or give it back.
I guess, Jonathan, some people might go, hey, did the government simply overcharge us? Is there any of that behind this windfall?
Yeah, well, certainly that is the case. I mean, a lot of the unexpected revenue last year was income tax revenue. It was from apparently the fiscal cliff. A lot of people who had invested decided to claim capital gains or dividends at the end of 2012, which is part of fiscal year 2013, and paid taxes on those. So there was a little unexpected bump in the income tax. And, you know, that's certainly one of the most popular ideas right now, is to look at the income tax and to say, you know, Michigan residents have paid for this surplus and they deserve to get a little relief as a result.
Well, let's break down what different ideas are floating around Lansing for spending this $971 million projected windfall. Chris, start with what you see as the main ideas.
Well, one of them is one that Senator Brandenburg has been really pushing, and that's lowering the income tax rate incrementally back down to what it was back in 2000 when it was raised to fix a budget problem. That is something that the Republicans and Governor Snyder stopped in the massive legislation in 2011, when we got rid of the Michigan business tax and created the corporate income tax, and we got rid of all the deductions. We also froze the stage decline in the income tax rate, and so they're trying to bring that back and start bringing that back down. There are some who are on board with that. There are others who are nervous about doing that, because they don't want to see in a few years that becoming another problem where you've got to raise it back up again. And so that'll be the fight. That's one of the big ones. We've also heard talk of some type of rebate. I think at the end of the day, your taxpayers are going to see a little bit more change in their pocket. The question is, you know, how much of will that be, and will it just be pocket change?
Now, Jonathan, your take.
Yeah, one other idea I've heard mentioned briefly, but not in any great detail, is some sort of looking at property tax relief. But certainly the income tax cut was the sort of initial response, but that's being tempered right now. Because, you know, this $970 million surplus, as Chris mentioned, about $325 million of that is like recurring money, so like a baseline budget that the state can sort of input this year and expect in future years going forward. But the majority of that, about two-thirds of that surplus, is actually just one-time money. So when you talk about a gradual income tax rate reduction, you know, the budget impact of that would be larger each year as the tax rate continues to go down. So the rebate idea seems to be gaining a little bit of favor. But as Chris mentioned, the state doesn't want to be in a position where they're sending out checks for, you know, $12 and say, hey, look at us, we're giving you $12. So
sure. They
want to make sure they can actually give residents something substantial, so, you know, it doesn't become, I guess, sort of laughable.
I think you could also say that, you know, this is an election year, so any amount of money that they're giving taxpayers back isn't really the question. It's can you put on a flyer that you stick in somebody's mailbox that, you know, I gave you a tax cut. And this is the hope that people will forget the tax increases that were foisted upon them in 2011 with, you know, getting rid of all the deductions that so many people utilized and freezing the income tax rate and some of the other things. One thing that you're going to hear, I think, from the Michigan Municipal League and some other groups is with the whole idea of the personal property tax elimination. Right now, there's only an 80% return on that money to local municipalities, and so there's going to be a case to be made by, especially by the local government groups, to say, give us 100% funding. You know, that's one way. Instead of giving everybody, like Jonathan said, $12 back, mm-hmm. give it back, and let's fully fund and hold harmless our local municipalities, so we can keep firefighters and police officers on the streets when this personal property tax goes away, if voters have it in August. So that could be one way to spend some of that money, is to have fully fund that revenue.
And I have to imagine somewhere in this conversation that the issue of infrastructure and our roads has to be a player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the state did put some one-time money into roads, and they'll have the opportunity to do so again this year. I mean, the governor still seems unlikely to get anything close to the $1.2 billion in new revenue that he had originally proposed. But certainly roads are going to be part of this discussion. Budget Director John Nixon said on Friday, you know, they want to look at K-12 and higher ed budgets, as well as public safety. Those are things he specifically mentioned. So, you know, he said take care of some of those strategic budget priorities first, and then we'll talk about a tax relief. He did call tax relief of some form inevitable, so it's going to happen, but there will be some other spending priorities as well.
Chris, what does Governor Snyder appear to want to do with this windfall?
I think that'll be something that we might see in the State of the State address. One of the things we finally got a hard answer out of him in what he doesn't want to do, and he does not want to repeal the pension tax, I think, is to do with some of this money. State employees will argue, you should be giving that some of that money back to state workers. We haven't heard him, while other people are getting raises, the state workers may or may not be getting this 2% raise. We haven't heard a lot of what he wants to do with it. He never opens up the playbook, obviously, more so than the most, but it'll be a real question, I think, as to what he wants to do with it. But whatever he's going to do, it's going to be very fiscally sound in his mind. So that's why he's not jumping on board the let's just cut taxes bandwagon to a drastic amount and then have a problem later on. He looks at things in 5, 10, 20-year budget cycles, the way most people don't. So whatever he does, he's going to have a very good case to be made behind it.
As you say, kind of expect to hear some of that on Thursday's State of the State address.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it would make sense for him because, like Jonathan said, when Budget Director Nixon said that a tax cut is inevitable, probably it wouldn't be too, it would probably be pretty smart for him to get out in front of this into a larger audience that maybe just now be hearing about this for the first time, that, hey, there's this money out there. What better place to talk about this tax cut and make people think it's your idea than the State of the State address?
Sunday's Free Press had a commentary piece from House Speaker Bolger, and the headline was Why States' Surplus Must Go to Tax Cut, promising also the GOP won't neglect education and roads in the process. So, Jonathan, what are we hearing from the GOP leaders in the House and Senate?
Well, exactly that. I mean, nobody's really backed any one specific proposal yet. It's very early. House Speaker Bolger also met with reporters last week and said, as you did in your lead, this is a good problem to have, and we're going to enjoy debating it. And as Chris mentioned, it's an election year, so more debate over a tax cut, what form that should take, isn't necessarily a bad thing for them because it keeps tax cuts in the headlines. So, I don't know if there will be any quick resolution to this. There doesn't have to be until they finish the budget. The governor's going to present his budget in early February, and that's probably when the talks will pick up a little more. But we'll be hearing about tax cuts a lot over the course of the next several months.
And Chris, what do we hear from Democrats? In fact, do they even have a prayer of getting any of the money for things they want?
I think they do, which is kind of a weird answer given the last 3 years' track record.
Yeah.
But some of the things that they're always going to be pushing for is things for seniors, things for education. And in a lot of respects, these are things that the governor and the Republicans cut in 2011. And so now that this is an election year, now is the time to sort of put some of that back in. And so I think you're going to see talk about education funding, in the State of the State address, and you're going to see talk about seniors. I mean, like, he's not going to repeal the pension tax, but the governor has talked about having a special message on seniors and coming up with some things. There's some things he wants to do with mental health. The lieutenant governor and Director Haveman of Community Mental Health have been working on this report that he hopes to have some actionable items that maybe we'll hear about on Thursday. So I think there's going to be some things that he's going to talk about that the Democrats are going to like because they're great election year issues to campaign on.
All right, here's a jump ball question. Is there any argument for not using up all of or part of this the projected surplus? Would it not be a good thing to have a good chunk of money in the kitty for security for when things go into another down cycle?
Well, certainly, the rainy day fund has grown quite a bit under the governor, and I imagine they'll put a little more in that fund this time around. Snyder, when we asked him about the idea of tax cuts last week, his response was to point out that he's a CPA, so he's always thinking long term, thinking ahead, and he's been a big proponent of investing in that rainy day fund to sort of prepare for any budget anomalies that might occur down the line. Sure.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if there wasn't some of this money that goes into the rainy day fund. Anytime there's any sort of excess, I think the governor's been pretty successful in getting some of that put into the rainy day fund, so I don't see this being any different.
That was Chris Gouts, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, and he was joined by Jonathan Osting, MLive's Lansing reporter. Thank you so much for talking with us today, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.